Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Our projects are going well. Thanks for all your help. We have full-page ads coming out, pro-life ads in a couple more newspapers, and at Christianity Today, which is just thrilling. So if you'd like to help with that, remember our website, kgov.com. And tomorrow's a holiday, and as we do every major holiday, we have our abortionist home visits tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, Winchell's Donuts, Evans and Monaco. We've been doing these for about 15 years. They've been reported on the LA Times, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and they're really effective in fighting the battle for the unborn and in witnessing to people, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, in Colorado, what do we need? In fact, what does every country need, every nation, every state? We need our own Human Life Amendment to indicate that a person's life begins at fertilization. And there was an effort in Colorado being spearheaded by a young woman from Peyton, Colorado. Her name is Christy Burton. Christy, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you here, Christy. You have an attorney who's helping you, Mark Moiser. And Mark, you're here in the studio too. Welcome to you.
Welcome. Glad to be here.
Could we start with Christy? Could you tell us about this Human Life Amendment and what's going on? It is very exciting.
Oh, sure. I would love to tell you. Actually, the Lord gave me a vision to work on the pro-life movement when I was about 13 years old, which was 6 years ago. And he just really laid on my heart that I needed to do whatever I could to be involved in saving lives. Mm. I've really been inspired by the story of Corrie Ten Boom and how she saved the Jews. And so
what a tremendous story that is. And The Hiding Place, the book, the movie, and she has inspired millions of Christians around the world. Christy, I'm thrilled to hear you were inspired and you're doing something about it. That's exciting.
Yes, thank you. The Lord has really just laid several scripture verses on my heart, too, as I was trying to find out this was really His calling for me. Probably one of my favorites is in the book of Proverbs, where it says, if you forbear to deliver those that are drawn unto death. And basically, if you don't do anything about it, the Lord sees that and He hears that and He will judge you for not doing something.
Yeah, that's a biblical principle throughout, that we're to love our neighbor. And if we stand back in apathy and just watch them die, that grieves God. It grieves the Holy Spirit. So that's what loving your neighbor is about. So you are a Christian. You love the Lord. But you've chosen a path that has a lot to do with the law.
Yes.
The Human Life Amendment, that's not billboards on the side of the road. That's a legal, political thing.
Right, absolutely.
So what kind of a background do you have to get involved in a legal project like this? What's your interest in life?
Okay, actually, I am going to law school right now in my second year. So I just love law and politics in general. I've worked on several campaigns and just really feel that if Christians were more involved in the political arena, our country would change and go back to how we originally started.
Yeah, if we could bring a Christian worldview to our government, just like we want carpenters and electricians to be Christian, we would like judges and governors and presidents to have a godly worldview.
Absolutely.
So that's encouraging. Okay, so a Human Life Amendment. How did that come to fruition? How did that come together, that idea?
Well, and a lot of people have wondered why we're going so far in defining life and not just limiting some abortions. And the reason why I did that is I was really praying about it. I knew that God wanted me to do something in pro-life. And I was really praying about it, and I asked God, I said, God, should I go all the way, or should I just start by restricting some of it? And the Lord just really led me to verses that talked about faith and how according as we believe, it will be done for us. And so I just really felt like God was showing me, go for everything.
Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that you have not because you ask not. And really, for 30, 40 years, there have been a lot of pro-lifers that haven't tried. And some have, but many have not tried to restore the personhood of the child and have been happy to ignore that for a later date. And if we could go 30 years and not work on that, boy, what is the long term? 200 years? 500 years? I don't know. 30 years is a long time to be the short term.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, so that's the idea of a Human Life Amendment. Now, Mark Moiser, Mark, how do you get involved in this story?
Well, about a year ago, I got a call from Christy. She knew that I was an attorney and that I was interested in pro-life issues. And she said, I got this vision, but how do I implement that vision? Mm. And so over the course of the last year, I've been talking, doing a lot of research, you know, talking to attorneys, trying to figure out a game plan that would fulfill Christie's vision of overturning Roe v. Wade, going all the way. Let's actually end this debauchery that's in our country. Let's end the blood that's in our land. And so over the course of the year, you know, just really worked on it, studied on it, and eventually we came up with some language and shipped it to Christie and started sending it to some national people and started getting feedback from them until we have eventually got to the language that we ended up filing today with the Secretary of State's office.
So that was at a legislative hearing?
Yes, it was at a there was a legislative hearing where we had to go through our language, and they made a few minor changes in word order and stuff like that, and periods or two spaces after periods, minor stuff like that.
Right, right.
But once we did that, then we took it to the Secretary of State's office, and we actually filed it.
Okay.
But that's how, you know, I got started on the project. I was living in another state, you know, working in a practice of law, and just had a my current employment ended up ending because the senior partner ended up resigning. So I was just praying, Lord, what would you have me do next? And I just got the burden that maybe I need to go to Colorado and help Christie out on this, because I have been involved politically and I have been involved legally.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was praying, I also do historical presentations. I dress up in colonial American history outfits and do history presentations. And a half hour after I prayed, Lord, if you want me to go, give me something. Well, he was faithful. I was reading through George Washington's biography and came across a challenge that he gave to his troops on July 2nd, 1776.
July 2nd, that was yesterday.
Yep.
And 2 days before Independence Day. And by the way, that's my anniversary. My wife and I celebrated our anniversary last night. So I'm eager to hear. This is from his diary.
Well, this is actually something he said to his troops to encourage them for the battle that was about ready to happen.
On July 2nd, 1776. Okay.
And this is what he told his troops. The time is now at hand, which must determine whether Americans are to be freemen or slaves, whether they are to have any property they can call their own, whether their houses and farms are to be pillaged and destroyed, and themselves consigned to a state of wretchedness from which no human effort will deliver them. The fate of unborn millions will now depend, under God, on the courage and conduct of this army.
Wow.
Let us then rely on the goodness of our cause and the aid of the Supreme Being, in whose hand victory is, to animate and encourage us to great and noble actions.
Wow, the fate of unborn millions.
And the time is now at hand.
Wow. And I am thrilled that you guys both are taking this as something that's actionable, something that we need to do. Now, Christie, the language to the amendment, is that something we could share with the audience? I know that there are still hearings to come, but could we let people know how the Colorado Constitution would be changed if this is successful?
Definitely. The language actually has been approved already, so this is the language that would appear on the ballot. It says, Article 2 of the Constitution of the State of Colorado is amended by the addition of a new section to read, Person Defined.
Person defined. So you're defining the term person for the Colorado Constitution.
Exactly. And it goes on to say, as used in Sections 3, 6, and 25 of Article 2 of the State Constitution, the terms person or persons shall include any human being from the moment of fertilization.
Wow. That is so simple.
It is. That's one of the reasons we chose this language, because it is very simple.
It's absolutely simple. And quite often there'll be an attack on the language of an amendment, but there's not much to attack here. This is pretty straightforward. This is defining a person as any human being from the moment of fertilization. You guys didn't use the word conception. Was there a reason for that?
Yes, actually there was.
I'll go ahead and answer that. At the time of Roe v. Wade, conception and fertilization would have a similar meaning. Mm-hmm. But there has been an attack by the anti-life advocates to redefine conception to mean the moment of implantation.
Implantation in the uterine wall.
You got it.
In the uterus.
So conception no longer has the meaning that you and I might use.
Mm-hmm.
And fertilization is the more precise of when life begins. Life begins when the sperm and the egg unite.
They unite, and then there truly is a brand new living human being, because the DNA of that new living human being is not that of the mother or the father. It is unique DNA, and the baby's gender is set at that moment. Is that right, Christy?
That is very true.
Yeah, gender and eye color and fingerprints and 1,000 other particulars that will make this a unique human being.
Very true, absolutely.
That is so neat. Okay, so you have this amendment language here, and today was a legislative council hearing, and then you filed this with the Secretary of State. That's right?
Correct.
Now, eventually, if you succeed, this will end up a ballot initiative, and people will vote on it. But let's go through the process, and you have a website, and let's let people know about the website so they could follow this progress when we're not on the air on their own.
Wonderful. Our website is ColoradoEqualRights.com.
Okay, ColoradoEqualRights.com. That's really super. I really like that name. I imagine there are some people who might not like that name, but that is a really good name.
Yes, I have actually seen on some of the liberal blogs how they've been already attacking us for that title. But this is what it's going to come down to. It is an equal rights. The unborn baby should have the same rights as that baby 1 minute out of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to an equal rights. And so we're taking that, you know, it's called the Equal Rights Amendment. And so let's take it and use it.
All right. So ColoradoEqualRights.com. And I know that over the next year, there's going to be real needs of help, volunteers, but also financial resources. So people could start even now donating to Colorado for Equal Rights. And if they'd like to do that, the address is on the website, and we'll give that out in a moment. So have a pen or paper ready to take down the address that you could send a check to Colorado for Equal Rights. And soon you'll be able to donate online. But which one of you guys, we're talking with Mark Moiser and Christy Burton, who would like to explain the process? What is the next hearing, and where do we go from here?
On July 18th, we're going to have a hearing at the Secretary of State. It's called the Titling Board. What they are going to do is they're going to summarize our amendment, which is really hard to do because it is two sentences long.
Yeah, how do they summarize this? This is so brief. And I can't imagine a summary that could be briefer. You guys have not wasted a single word.
Thank you. But the thing is, they have to, you know, put something on the ballot saying what it is it's going to do, and then the language will be below it. What they're going to be coming up with on this meeting, the 18th, is what is our, you know, the summary of our bill so that the people of Colorado, when they vote, they will see, will the state of Colorado enact a constitutional amendment that defines life at the beginning, at the moment of fertilization? And then it'll probably have the text, something to the, like that.
Okay.
That is the 18th. There is a seven-day appeals process whereby we, as Colorado Equal Rights, or somebody from
Planned Parenthood,
can appeal and say, Secretary of State, you do not have the right to put this on the ballot, because you didn't summarize it correctly or because it's not a single subject. If they make that appeal, the first Wednesday of August, we would have a rehearing.
So there are two possible grounds for appeal. One is it germane to just one issue?
Yes.
Is this a single issue topic for an amendment?
Yes.
And the other is it summarized incorrectly?
Exactly.
Okay, so as far as this is only dealing with one issue, I can't imagine how even Planned Parenthood could cook up some scheme to say this is dealing with more than one issue.
Actually, the Legislative Council did come up with an argument that we had the fun of trying to shoot down earlier today.
Those troublemakers. They said that this possibly dealt with more than one issue?
Yes, because Section 3 deals with inalienable rights. Section 6 deals with equal rights, and Section 25 deals with due process of law. Mm-hmm. So it's three different constitutional amendments, which are three different subjects. The way how we responded to that is we are defining person so that we can cover all people.
Right.
Our single subject is defining the unborn child as a person.
Yeah, what your amendment does is you're defining the term person. That's one thing. And terms are used in a million ways.
There are multiple applications.
Right. Any term is used, I mean, literally, a term could be used in a million ways. That would disqualify every conceivable amendment.
Yeah.
If any possible reference to a term elsewhere in the Constitution could be influenced.
If they do, at the second, do appeal it to a second title hearing and then still disagree, they can appeal it to the state Supreme Court. And there would be a hearing on whether we are a single subject or whether it was properly amended.
Would a possible response to that be to have language that states, as used in the Colorado Constitution, the term person or persons means from the moment of fertilization? In other words, leaving out the sections? Is that a possible response to that?
That is a possible response, but this is a much more precise bill that make sure everybody knows that the purpose of this is to protect the unborn baby.
Could you explain to me why you just said it, but Mark, could you say it again, why these particular sections are identified, sections 3, 6, and 25 of the Colorado Constitution of Article 2?
Okay. Section 3 deals with what's called inalienable rights, which are the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Inalienable means that they're not transferable. So somebody can't say, if you give me $1 million, I'll let you kill me, and the money will go to my family. It's inalienable because it comes from God.
Exactly.
And if you are not a convicted capital criminal, the government does not have the right to trade away your life.
You got it.
Yeah. And not only the government, but no one. No individual, no group, no ministry would have the right to bargain away someone's innocent life for some political gain.
Yes.
Okay, so that's Section 3, the inalienable rights.
Yeah, Section 6 deals with equal rights, and Section 25 deals with due process of law, which is, you know, you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without the court's involvement.
Without due process. And that due process, by the way, a tangent, that has a basis even in the Ten Commandments with thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. God has an expectation that governments will handle criminal and civil matters justly and based on fact. So you are not to lie in court against your neighbor. You are not to bear false witness. God is the one who's given us the right to life, liberty, to own property when he said do not steal. So these are all issues that are based on a solid biblical worldview.
These are the fundamental, the Supreme Court has called them, the fundamental rights of being an American citizen. Mm-hmm. And so we went and found the fundamental rights, and we just went after those three amendments and said, these fundamental rights need to be given to the unborn.
Mm-hmm. Now, the concept of person and personhood appears in the Roe v. Wade decision. And, in fact, Harry Blackmun, who wrote Roe, mentions that if the personhood of the child is established, he didn't say the child, but if the personhood of the fetus is established, how did he conclude that thought?
Well, basically, there was a line of questioning that happened during oral arguments, and they actually asked the attorney for the pro-death camp and basically said, if personhood was established in the United States Constitution or, you know, the Texas Constitution, would you have a case? And they said, we'd have a very difficult case. They understand that if personhood is established in the right of the unborn, there is none of this ethereal right to terminate the life of an unborn.
Mm-hmm. And the same is true historically with the Dred Scott decision, with Jews in Germany. These people were acknowledged as living human beings, but what was denied was that they were persons under the law, or persons even before God. So this is the ultimate legal protection for the unborn, is to fight to establish personhood. And, you know, as you guys are going through this, Christy, I know this is a long haul ahead, but as you are going through this, there are people in Colorado who are going to learn. They're going to hear these arguments in public, and that can have an effect also.
You're absolutely right on that, and that is one of our other main goals, is just to educate the public on life, what life is, why abortion is wrong, why it damages not only the unborn child, but also the mother. There are so many implications that the public is not aware of.
Mm-hmm. And so you guys are going to need to get signatures to get this on the ballot. How do you plan? You got to get a lot of signatures. Is that right?
Yes, we have to get above 75,000, I believe.
Okay.
And we're definitely going to try to get around 100,000 or more.
Yeah, because typically they'll disqualify many of the signatures if somebody leaves out their middle initial or they don't put place. And when they kick out your signatures, you might have to fight and challenge that and get a bunch kicked back in. But what's your plan on getting that many signatures?
Well, one of our main goals is really to get churches involved because, mm-hmm. as I stated earlier, if Christians were involved in the political process, our country would be different.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark loves the story of Gideon, as do I. And really in that story, there were 300 men who ended up going with Gideon.
300 against a huge army.
Absolutely. And so our goal is to get at least 300 churches involved. And if each of those 300 churches could get us 300 signatures, that would end up with 90,000 signatures.
Mm. And even a small church could get 300 signatures.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, because somebody goes out for a few hours in an afternoon, goes to a park or a mall or a shopping center, a grocery store, and asks people, would you like to sign this petition for a Colorado Human Life Amendment?
Absolutely. That's exactly what can happen. And also just getting the signatures of the church members.
Mm-hmm.
There's several churches in Colorado that are huge that could get us a lot of signatures just in their members.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And churches, even by our laws as they stand right now, you know, the IRS, the government tries to somewhat gag churches as far as political speech, but churches are thoroughly allowed, even by our current restrictive laws, to function in this way.
That is correct. Church, this is called issue support.
Mm-hmm.
It's not candidate support. So a lot of the rules that pastors have heard about what applies when you bring a candidate on, having to bring the opposing candidate on, all that kind of stuff, that is out the door. Churches, you know, as long as it's within certain budgetary type things, they're allowed to give and they're allowed to actually bring us in to speak or, mm-hmm. you know, have the mm-hmm. signatures on the back.
We've done that. For example, Focus on the Family produced a marriage amendment video for this last election cycle, and we aired that video on Marriage Sunday at Denver Bible Church, and we encouraged people to get out and vote for this amendment. And so the same thing is true here when it's an issue. Of course, churches deal with issues, and maybe the IRS would like to stop that also, but as of right now, churches are fully permitted, even encouraged, to engage in issues politically. You are right. There is a budgetary threshold. The church can't spend 90% of its budget on some political issue per the IRS, but churches are not about to do that. And so, of course, they can encourage their people to get these petitions, bring them around, have them signed at church, and like you said, invite you guys to come in and speak. Yeah, this is going to be exciting. So you need over 75,000 signatures, and the plan is to start with 300 churches.
Yes, that is right.
Okay. And then what happens? Assuming everything goes well with the titling and you get your signatures, that's going to cost a lot of money. So hopefully people listening to this show, even today, could go to ColoradoEqualRights.com and donate. But what happens then if you're on the ballot? Then what do we do?
Well, once we're on the ballot, our goal is really to educate the public about what this initiative is all about, what we're trying to do, and why it's so important. We would certainly love to get it out in the media, have mm-hmm. TV commercials about it. Obviously, that costs money.
Mm-hmm.
But that is our main goal, is to educate the public so they really know what this is about.
Right. And education is part of the gospel. God gave the law, And the law is the tutor to lead men to Christ. So the law says, do not murder, do not steal, don't commit adultery, don't covet, don't be envious of your neighbor's goods. And when we tell unbelievers that, they might think, wow, I don't stack up so well against that standard. And that's the whole point, that we need Jesus Christ because he died to pay for our sin. So the law, even in the context of government, when you are supporting a good law, a just and righteous law, you are teaching people about righteousness and about the God of righteousness.
As Christians, we are going to be accountable to God. You know, he tells us the parable in Matthew 25 about the talents and the master who had gone away, who gave, you know, a talent to his servants. We are the servants of God. Christ will come back again one day. And when he comes back, he's going to look at us. And are we going to be the faithful stewards who actually took what God gave us and were productive with it? Or are we going to be the servant who just buried the talent in the sand? I mean, God has given us a gift by making us Americans. It is a gift to be an American with the freedoms that we have.
The freedoms are extraordinary. You go around the world and you come home, and with all the sin in America, you come home and there's Christian radio stations, Christian bookstores, Christian concerts. The gospel is being preached. We have tremendous freedom here to share the truth with our neighbor and those around the world.
Exactly. And the thing is, once we're done, you know, with 300 churches, we're not going to stop there. We're going to, you know, that's just the core group to get us started. But then we want to just build with more and more churches, because as Christians understand that they are going to be accountable to God for how they lived in this earth. And, you know,
I want to give the mailing address that people could write a check and send it in. And this is for Colorado for Equal Rights. That's how you'd write it on the check, right?
That is correct.
Colorado for Equal Rights, whereas the website is shorter, which is good, ColoradoEqualRights.com. And P.O. Box 298, this is the address to mail a check, P.O. Box 298, Peyton, P-E-Y-T-O-N, Peyton, Colorado, 80831. 80831. So, Christy, I'm hoping you can keep us informed as we continue down this path.
I will definitely do that. Thank you so much for having us on today.
Thank you. You are welcome. Mark Moiser, it's really great to have you in studio. And this is an encouragement, even to speak with a Christian lawyer who is so committed to honoring God and teaching the public about God.
Well, I thank you for that. But, you know, the credit goes to my parents, because how they raised me, me in such a way that God was first in my life.
Wow. And Mark moved to Colorado to help us in this state with this battle. And I hope that we could repay him and thank the Lord for this commitment and this vision by supporting Colorado for Equal Rights. Please check out their website. It has their latest press release, ColoradoEqualRights.com. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a beautiful school. Check it out, Maranatha Christian Center. And our website is kgov.com. And tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, Monaco and Evans, be there.